Welcome everyone to another session, another podcast series with Asia Blockchain Review. I'm your editor-in-chief, Anil Prabha, and today I am interviewing Mr. C.S. Gill, who is the country manager at InfoBIT Malaysia. Basically, we will be talking more about the latest launch that InfoBIT did on Conversations, which is a communications platform as a service, a CPaaS solution, and a few other things along the way. So let's dive straight into it. So Gil, we'll go to the first question. Firstly, of course, thank you, a very big thank you for taking the time to talk to us. First and foremost, how are things with you and the company as we navigate this new normal?
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you. Thank you very much for having me, and it's a pleasure to speak to you. Well, we're indeed living in strange times, aren't we, with this new normal. Within our industry, actually, things obviously changed. Everybody worked from home, and it was a quick transition to getting used to this new normal. And within InfoBIT, however, this was an opportunity for us. Perhaps I could give you a quick introduction about InfoBIT and where we're coming from and where we're going, and then dive a little bit more deeper into this conversations module. InfoBIT is headquartered in the UK, and it started back in 2006, essentially as a messaging provider. We opened the office here in Malaysia back in 2010, so it's our 10th year anniversary. And we've been growing and adding our communication platform with various channels. So we had SMS, emails, push. We recently onboarded WhatsApp. We're a partner with them as well as all the other over-the-top channel providers. And we are really good at this. We are the market leader. We've won global awards, which we'll talk about a little bit later. Now, we are evolving around the value chain. And on top of this CPaaS communication platform, we're building SaaS solutions. Essentially, we've launched four solutions now. And one of them is Conversations. So Conversations is a private cloud-based solution whereby organizations can take your contact center home. And during this COVID-19, you know, a lot of our clients, a lot of our opportunities that were exploring it sort of fast-tracked because they needed their contact center to still be available, but they needed them to work from home. And this solution sort of was the knight in shining armor that enabled them to do this and have that business continuity.
Yeah, sure. How would you like to go through all the solutions, or was this just Conversations for today?
Well, I can give you like a basic run through. Specifically in the Malaysian market, we were very much busy last year with the launch of WhatsApp APIs. There have been a lot of traction and a lot of customers' interest within this communication channel, but it's just a communication channel. So our customers then, on top of this channel, will need to build a chatbot. They'll need to connect this to their contact center to enable their agents to talk to customers. And a lot of our customers, we work a lot with large banks, insurance, in the FSI industries, didn't have this framework, or it's going to cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to build something like that. So we started building solutions on top of this platform. We've got a solution called Answers, which is an AI chatbot with machine learning capability and all of this, with no coding involved. And this is an important fact. So the business user can build a bot by dragging and dropping, because the business user understands the flow of the business, and he's able to build a bot seamlessly, rather than depending on a third party or an engineer or an IT personnel to do that. We've also launched recently a solution called Moments, and this is more into automated marketing. A lot of the large CRM players have this, you know, where you can automate marketing. We put some code in your website or in your app, and if a customer logs in and you know, he's looking at a certain product, if this event happens, let's target him with a campaign. So it's becoming more intelligent, more automated in the marketing, where you're not just mass sending out blasts and hoping for some reaction, but you're target marketing to the specific customer based on the requirements. And also concurrently, we launched Conversations, which is a live chat contact center solution. So within this solution, you know, you don't need to buy a solution. All of these are subscription-based, so you just buy the seats, depending on how many agents you have. You log into our portal, and you're ready to go. So that coupled with WhatsApp, specifically in Malaysia, it's WhatsApp. Of course, in different countries, you have different chat applications. It worked perfectly. And we piloted this last year with one of the largest insurance companies in Malaysia, where they were having a problem with claim submission. And they wanted to take this over digitally to WhatsApp. So we coupled WhatsApp together with this contact center solution. So a customer comes in, goes through a bot, prepare the documents that he needs, and then connects to an agent and he submits those documents. And this was a real great success story that we had when we first started this last year.
I think that sounds very interesting. Did it require like a lot of back end sort of reconfigurations and recalibrations, or was it quite seamless?
It was quite seamless. So our idea or our approach to an organization is to reduce your capex. Let's try something out. It does not have to be perfect. So what we did is they had their back end systems. And we had a cloud-based contact center solution. So the customer submits the documents over our contact center solution. The agent then takes these documents and submits it into their system for processing. So there's no integration in the start. Today, what they are doing now is they are seamlessly integrating these two solutions once it's proven that it works. So we don't actually need an agent, and the customer can submit the documents and the bot can then talk and pass these documents to the backend system. So, it's a gradual growth rather than jumping in with 2 feet and finding a paddle to swim. It's a little bit difficult.
Of course. Apart from the insurance, vertical, where do you, based on your experience and your, the big picture that you see, at least in Malaysia, where else do you think, InfoBIBS solutions could really make a difference?
Okay. Well, we've been in the market now for 10 years. We are working in Malaysia with almost all the banks and all the insurance companies. But we also have other verticals, of course. We have logistics, we have the airlines, any sort of organization that has customer-facing, you would need a solution like this, You would have a contact center. We recently, last year as well, joined the Contact Center Association in Malaysia. And we premiered this conversation solution in a CX Summit event, which is their premier event that they had back in, I think, September or October last year. And this was showcasing our solution to about 500 enterprises.
Right. Yeah, actually, yeah. One of my questions actually talks about DX, and digital transformation, of course, is greeted as quite a dreaded buzzword. It's been around for a while, and most people kind of roll their eyes the moment you mention digital transformation. So just wondering, you mentioned about CX, and CX is becoming a very integral sort of component now in most companies. I mean, they talk about CX not only just to not only for the end consumer, but also it's looked upon as quite a profit center as well, because like with better CX, a lot of other things will happen. There's a bit of a domino effect, kind of a knock-on effect. Well, what's your perspective on the importance of CX these days?
I think it's pivotal to a business, right? Businesses need to transform. You need to go digital. And it's just about the dollar investment. There are two key factors coming again, from our core customers. The risk and the compliance that you need to deal with when you're going through this journey, and the investment that you're going to make. So in our opinion, you don't need to invest $1 million a year or hundreds of thousands of dollars to get a solution. Subscription model is the way to go. So, building a bot where you just pay a subscription and you're able to change this bot and you're able to fine-tune this bot as you go through this journey. Because it would not be perfect the first time you launch it. And as you get market feedback, as you get your team's feedback, you're able to tweak it. And this is a challenge when you are outsourcing this to a third party to build a customized bot for you. And then you can't just tweak it because you can't get the guy to come in every hour or every day to do something. So it has to be something that's done quarterly or monthly in a review with additional costs. So a subscription model where you subscribe to a plan and you're able to create a bot is good for large organizations as well as the SMEs. So, you know, the cost of moving towards DX and CX is not not expensive. You can start with something small and gradually grow that as your requirements come on board.
Yeah, so based on your market, the market feedback that you're getting and also just how things are in Malaysia right now, what do you think are the most critical sort of aspects that most Malaysian companies need to look into, at least from the kind of solutions that you offer? Where do you think they need to start off for the most critical sort of elements?
I think with this new norm, it's about working from home or working from anywhere while ensuring you have that quality of service and your business is not processes are not interrupted. This is something that a lot of organizations globally and especially in Malaysia never really thought about. Working from home was something that was not considered to be good, and it's just something that happens probably in Silicon Valley. But with COVID-19, organizations had to change, and organizations realized the vulnerability that they had on their systems and their solutions and their business in general. So we were working last year, pre-COVID, with a lot of organizations reviewing the business process, going through our conversations and our chatbot and all of that. But during this COVID, we've been busier than ever because the urgency was there that they needed something and they needed something yesterday. And this is the advantage of our solution where, you know, it takes minutes to create a username and password and that agent can open his laptop, log in, and it's ready to work. So it was an interesting, but it was also a positive time for us. And our team has been really, really busy doing deployment after deployment with the queue of customers waiting to roll this out.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the, you know, and kind of some of the talking points that you guys have for conversations. And there's a lot of talk about the omni-channel paradigm, right? So you're looking through, a solution like conversations, but you're doing it all through a single interface so that it has connections with, like, say, Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp, live chat, SMS, in-house chat bots, and all that. And of course, you're trying to automate as much as you can as well, right? And there's a lot of, I think as we go along now with this whole post-COVID reality, with the ways DX and CX is also evolving, that also means a lot more automation and perhaps, I think, given less, more jobs, perhaps for different sort of roles, but there could be some present jobs that could also be just kind of, done away with. So, do you think this has an impact on, issues like jobs being lost, as well as a bit of upskilling as well, or like, you know, corporations need to kind of pivot to kind of cope with all these new realities? Where do you stand on all this?
I think it's pivoting. There's a lot of restructuring. If you call traditionally, if your business has a call center, and there's lots of organizations where when a customer calls the call center, it's a dreaded experience. You press one and you press five and you press six and you get a recorded message that your call is really important. Please wait, please wait. And you're waiting, and physically as you're waiting, you're getting more and more angry because your life is on hold. So this needs to move to digital. The user experience, the customer experience is a lot nicer. I ask a question, my life goes on, I go and see an answer. Now for that call agent who used to be an operator answering the phone, there's some retraining involved, but fortunately, almost everybody is used to texting. And that experience is similar. The user interface is not complicated. It's easy to use. within half a day, you're able to come on board and able to start work. So there's not like a lot of retraining involved, and you're what you used to say over voice, you're now using over text. So the agent becomes more efficient, from my experience. Rather than handling one call, that one agent can handle five texts. So that call waiting period for your customer comes down. Customers are attended to more quickly. But I don't see that as like a loss of jobs from the call center. It's just retraining someone to do something using a different channel. And talking about that omni-channel, that's a real benefit as well. The ability to integrate through various channels so the customer does not have to repeat himself. So if I talk to you over Facebook Messenger or over your website, and then I decided to talk to you over WhatsApp, I don't need to repeat what I talked to you from the other channel. It all comes into this one channel, and I'm able to see the history from those different channels as well as what I've been talking to with the bot. So that agent does not need to re-ask all the questions. He sees that history. He addresses me as Gil, because I've keyed in my name, and the system then grabs that and keeps that in the bot as well.
Actually, yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking about it. Like, this whole work from home reality now is like, you know, we literally are living this whole omni-channel sort of existence now, right? I mean, we're connected on all of these things and in real time, almost 24/7, basically. So
yeah,
it does make perfect sense, actually. Yeah, I'll just move on to the next question, the one about the Gartner report. Basically, a 2019 Gartner report said that by 2025, AI embedded customer services will improve operational efficiencies by 25%, with chatbots handling basic queries and passing complicated matters onto human agents. As remote working becomes the new normal, a cloud contact center is the only way to maintain business continuity because it allows the transfer of consumer information through all channels, never losing the history. You have elaborated on this on these topics already. Actually, I was just wondering how informed are Malaysian companies about issues like this? Are they really aware of this new revolution, do you think?
Well, let's say pre-COVID last year. So me and my team were going to meet our existing customers and our new customers and doing presentation after presentation to the larger ones. Of course, they would be aware, but to the SMEs and showing, this is the future. These are the solutions. This is something that you need to consider. And of course, especially in Malaysia, the sales process is really, really slow. There was no urgency that they needed to move. No one anticipated COVID-19 and a lockdown. But when COVID-19 came and there was a lockdown, a lot of businesses were affected. Business operations halted, and that was just not acceptable. So we were there and there was like a surge of demand from all these people that we were talking to for the past year that they need to move this process and they need to get this done and they need to get this done right now. So it was an awakening, I think, in the business community for business owners and C-suites on what they assumed was a fail-safe, secure environment where they are able to monitor the staff, where all their systems are proprietary and in place and nothing could go wrong. And this really sort of blindsided them, where they realized that remote working and cloud computing is the future. And it's not the future, in fact, it's the reality that needs to happen right now. So yeah, it was a good and exciting time during this COVID for us.
I think from that, actually, perhaps the only lead up sort of question I can have from that is, how well prepared are companies actually? Like, I mean, of course, the big ones, I think, would probably have, proper data centers or whether hybrid cloud sort of environments where there'll be some on-premise stuff and some cloud sort of installations and, whatever else. I think that they'll be okay. But as far as SMEs go, how how do you think are they really prepared for this new reality, or are they kind of scrambling now to see where they can, you know, take their business to?
Now, a lot of them are scrambling. Larger organizations were prepared, but with the larger organizations, there was no integration. Mm-hmm. So I remember coming back to that insurance, that our pilot that we had. So when with this contact center, now for claim submission, that use case, when COVID-19 hit, the contact centers, people were working from home. So they were still able to receive those claim documents from the customers, but there was no integration yet to the back end. So the back end had to be on-prem. So they have these documents now that the customer had submitted, but it was a challenge how to submit it back into their system. So this is what we're working now to bridge that gap so it can be fully automated. So large organizations as well were caught a little bit off guard. Smaller organizations were completely not ready. And the good thing about these cloud solutions that we have, it's subscription-based. So, you know, people are going around and wondering, I need to change, I need to find money, I need to buy a system, I need to buy a solution. How much does it cost? How many quotations? And when they sort of ran through what we had, it's not a large investment that you needed to do. And you don't need to change a whole lot of your business processes. It's just changing your mind, your thoughtfulness, the way you work, slightly your operations. I can be at home and be just as efficient as if I'm sitting in the office, if I have some solutions with me that can help me do my work.
Yes, understood. Actually, the only thing I guess I can take from that, in terms of a follow-up question, actually, is more about the human side, the transformation, like from the, you know, like it's more like a mindset sort of change as well, right? It there's a lot of that, you know, the employees and employers also have to kind of wrap their heads around this new sort of reality in terms of how they go about their tasks, right? Their object, how do they meet their objectives, their goals, and all that. Perhaps you could give our listeners a bit of an insight into how how employers and employees need to also embrace this new mindset. But what does that entail?
Sure. Coming back to that conversation solution, one of the modules that we have is the analytics and reporting. So this is really detailed because it's a full-fledged contact center solution where you're able to see per agent how many tickets you're taking, the time you're taking to close tickets. So in terms of monitoring, this can be done remotely by their supervisor, the team lead, as well as going up all the way to management. So you're able to measure efficiency. And if there's a problem with one of your team members, you're able to address that problem. But from our experience, it's something that even within our organization was not thought about to work from home. My team's efficiency was fine. When we first started, we were all a bit lost. But everybody's been producing, it's business as usual. It's just business in a different place. Like one of my clients says, the boss says now it's not work from home. It's work from anywhere as long as you just work, right?
No, that's true. That's very true. Yes. Okay. I think, let me see. The next one that you probably haven't covered was the recently on the 8th of June, there was a PR Newswire story about Infobip being rated as the best A2P SMS provider by mobile operators and enterprises. Maybe you could tell us a bit about that achievement, that best rating.
Oh yeah, sure. This is something that we're really proud about. It's the Roku Awards that we win, and this is an industry-based awards. It's something that's unbiased, independent, unsponsored, and it's a research that's done by Roku across all the mobile operators in the world. And for the past 4 years, we've been coming up number one in this. So this really embodies us as the global leader in messaging. So again, you know, we've got we're really proud of this award. We've won various awards even in Malaysia with Enterprise Asia and the Malaysian Mobile Association giving us the best messaging solution that we have. So we're really, really strong in this market space in terms of that, the communication channels. What really adds value now is the SaaS solutions that we're building on top of that, whereby it completes the journey, right? So you have the communication and you have the solution to plug into that communication seamlessly. And it gives the client that flexibility that, you know, if you have your solution, you can connect over APIs. But if you don't, you don't need to invest to buy a solution. You know, you pay a small subscription and you get the complete suite. But we're really proud about this Roku Award, and it's a real achievement to the team for the past 4 years to win this globally.
Yeah, you know, I'm just wondering, you know, just like there was a recent report, talking about digital transformation and the way that, you know, since, you know, like as we were talking about just now, like at least in Malaysia, you know, you've got SMEs just scrambling to get their act together. And I think worldwide it's just been, you know, everyone's just trying to get on this bandwagon now. So do you think there is a problem with the way things are being done? That means like, you know, things are being rushed. Like, I mean, of course, the reason why this also happens is because I think there is a belief out there that, you know, sometimes speed can trump perfection. I mean, you don't have to go for perfection first. You just get it up and running. But do you think some of these DX measures and CX measures are being quite, you know, quite hastily, you know, rushed? They're just like, you know, they're just doing it for the sake of doing something. It may not be future proofed or something like that. Do you have any such concerns?
Well, for the market, for the business owners, for the C-suites, definitely. I mean, you've got to plan long term. Even though you are in a crisis on what you do. So that's why investing a large amount of money to buy a turnkey solution just because we are in a crisis is something that, you know, might not pan out in the long term. I've had another one of our clients who's a large bank who deployed a huge AI chat and spent $2 million, you know, and for this chatbot needs time to learn. And they had to pull the plug on that chatbot because the customers couldn't wait for the chatbot to learn. And that's just a few million dollars down the drain, right? So, you know, investing a large amount of money requires a lot of thought and it requires that solution to be perfect. And I don't think this is the right way to go about it. The right way to go about it is through subscription, where you're not investing a large amount of money. You can try it out with a small team and then scale up. And your partner or your that you're working with has that capability to scale up, has the additional channels, if we are talking about conversations, right? So you're in Malaysia today and most of your customers are talking to you over WhatsApp. Now, as your business grows and you expand to the Thailand market or the Philippine market, in Thailand, you'd require LINE. If you're moving up to the Philippines, you'll require Viber. So if you've invested in a solution and it's only catered to WhatsApp, now you've got to go and buy another solution for your Thailand expansion and one more for your Philippine expansion. So you've got to look at that kind of scalability, that kind of adaptability to future-proof your solution, whereby it's able to cross channels. It's able to scale up. If you've got 50 people in your call center and you scale up to 1,000, can your partner handle that sort of thing? These are the questions I think that you should consider. Something which has a low entry cost and something that's scalable.
Yes. Very good point. So I guess, yeah, we can, you know, come to the final part. I was just going to ask you, like, you know, what do you see in your crystal ball going forward? Like, you know, what's next? What's next for Infobip, at least first? I think maybe let's just focus on the company. What are you guys planning?
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Well, the next step with us and one solution which we think was really needed was a biometric solution. See, working a lot with the banks and insurance company, and you have these conversations and live chat. The main issue that we found from the customer is how do I really know that I am talking to Gil? And it's not someone who's just using Gil's phone to talk to me. So that EQIC was the missing part. And that was something that we went back and we pondered with our engineers. And we came back with a biometric solution. So you're in a live chat with me, and you want me to give you some sensitive information. I need to EKYC you. So what you do the first time is a register. So you need to take a picture of your IC, example. We've got both facial as well as vocal recognition. So you take a picture of your IC, and then you've got to take a selfie of yourself, and you've got to smile or look at a ball or something so it makes sure it's a human face. And we are able to match the two to confirm that this is really Gil. We also have the vocal recognition that can recognize speech patterns. So this was like the missing piece of the puzzle. You know, if you're talking about live chat, the EKYC part. So we actually just launched this, and we're having a webinar next week with all of our partners, our customers, where we are introducing these solutions, and it's something that, based on market requirement, we are coming with. So this is the direct next step for us.
Yeah, how do you think Malaysian businesses will react to this new initiative of yours?
Again, living in a post-COVID environment, right? You're looking for contactless, or you want to lower the amount of contact that you have with your customers, if possible. So if I want to go and get a phone account for a mobile phone, I have to meet someone. I have to give you my IC. You have to photocopy that IC. You have to physically see that it's me before I'm able to get a phone bill. Or if I'm able to open a bank account, I need to go to the bank, or the salesperson has to come and see me. So we need to minimize this process, and we need to move this process digitally, whereby I'm able to open an account from anywhere, and you are able to maintain that level of security where you are able to know that this is really me and it's not a fraudulent account. So it's something that is unavoidable. It's again something that's here today, and it's not so much in the future. While doing some research, I was actually surprised to see that most of the banks in Malaysia are already having this initiative. They are already exploring and looking at this and how they can leverage on this. And they already have task force working on this. So I think it's an opportune time to have this solution in. It's something that's required by the market to do this EKYC whenever security is involved.
Okay. Just final thoughts. You know, since we are a publication that's kind of focused on blockchain, I was just wondering, what's your take on the whole blockchain sort of fabric now in the industry? Because we're seeing a lot more of how blockchain is being integrated into a range of verticals, which have all kinds of advancements where, you've got 5G, AI, IoT, big data, cloud computing, all of it's kind of interacting on this blockchain sort of fabric. Are there any future plans for InfoBIP's solutions to get into this whole blockchain space, perhaps?
With blockchain, I think, again, this is something that's here today and it's here to stay, right? It's essentially a platform where you're going to build solutions on top, and where the platform can keep that information secure. Well, in the future roadmap, we'd have to ask our engineers. I've not heard anything about us moving to blockchain technology, but it's definitely something we're exploring. Currently, we host our solutions in private data centers. So it's a private cloud, not a public cloud. But I think, it's something that is inevitable that the market will require this, and this will be the new norm, where you're holding your data in blockchain rather than in a private data center. Definitely worth considering.
So just before I let you go, for Malaysia at least, how do you think the country is coping in general from now with the recovery, MCO and all that? How are things faring from your side?
In my opinion, better than normal. Kudos to MOH. They did a great job. We actually did a CSR activity with them where we built a bot to disseminate information, and this bot will be launched on Monday, this coming Monday. So the public will be able to get information over WhatsApp directly from the Ministry of Health. They've done a great job in managing this crisis, better than anyone expected, I think, when it first hit us. And it's becoming to the new norm. And the way I see it, I think probably August things will become a little bit more open. But it's also important for the public to realize that you know, it's not over. The vaccine has not been found. So this new norm has to go on for a while with social distancing, wearing masks, and, you know, going out not as often as you should. But I think the country did really well. Businesses are all springing back. And if you look at all the numbers, right, with the country, it's a V-shaped comeback. So, yeah, really good, I think. Much better than what was initially expected.
All right. Okay. So, Mr. Gill, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
We will definitely try to catch up in the future for, you know, maybe another session or something else. We'll try to figure out something. So, yeah, thanks for your time.
It was an absolute pleasure. Yeah,
wonderful talking to you.
Thank you. Right. Thank you very much for having me.
All right.
Great. Have a good day now. Cheers.
Take care. Bye.